Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you live from VOA studios here in Washington. I'm Douglas Impuga. This evening we'll talk about the legacy of African autocratic leaders. And with us tonight is my colleague Vincent Macquarie, Managing Editor of VOA's Africa 54. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. And joining us is Suleiman Mugula. He joins us from Durban, South Africa. He's an independent political analyst. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas, and good evening, Vincent.
How is Durban?
Durban is fine. It's raining. Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're very much welcome. As I said, our top tonight, we're looking at the legacy of Africa's autocratic leaders. Just this week, Hosni Mubarak, who ruled Egypt for almost three decades, died after spending the last years of his life facing charges of financial corruption and collusion in the killing of Egyptian protesters. Earlier in the month, Daniel Arap Moi, who ruled Kenya for nearly a quarter century, marked by repression and widespread corruption, before he eventually yielded to multi-party democracy and allowed the peaceful transfer of power, also died at the age of 95. Both men received the state burials. Hosni Mubarak on Wednesday had the full military honors burial in Cairo. Let me start with Vincent here. Mm-hmm. First of all, your comment, given the track record of some of Africa's long-serving autocratic leaders, who fall out of favor in their life, but then later when they die, they are treated as saints.
Yes, I think when you look at all those, while there is this common saying that you don't speak ill of the departed, those who have died, it's tradition everywhere. Mm. But it's also important to remember that the citizens of every country should be shown some respect, some honor, some dignity. When a person has ruled over his citizens and, brought a lot of suffering to those citizens, and there is no acknowledgement of that by that particular person, by people close to him, by members of his, whatever that was, his government at that time, I think it is to show disdain for the citizens who know what they experienced under the leadership of that particular person. I've seen, for example, during the funerals like of that Daniel Arap Moi, former political dissidents who later met up with him and joined the government praise him and talk about how they shook hands, they took tea and ate together, and they forgave each other. But what is lost in all this is that those leaders never turned to the citizens and apologized to them in very clear language for the grinding poverty they subjected these people to because of the plundering of the national wealth and for the impoverishing of the people because of certain policies. They never apologized in a very clear language for the people who were killed, whose children were killed, whose wives were raped during political violence because of their own actions and policies. So while you don't want to necessarily subject the person who has died into all this extreme, castigation at that point, I think, in my view, in respect of the citizens of a country, a person's true actions during his leadership should never be forgotten just because he has died. Mm. It is good for it to be acknowledged that he caused suffering to his fellow citizens and that he may have done one or two, three things, but that should be acknowledged. Mm. Otherwise, it does not motivate those who are in power to do the right thing because they know that all you have to do is hold on to power until you get out, until you die, and you will always be considered a hero, you'll be considered a saint, and therefore they have no motivation to do the right thing.
Suleiman, your take?
I agree with the Comrade Vincent 100%. It is not in our culture in Africa, across the board, to talk ill of a disease. It is across the board. That is given. But the way what many of these leaders have done leaves no option to the African people but to carry them with disdain. These leaders, the majority of them, we have to divide them. It's not that we have not had good leaders. They are good leaders who have been given good burials, decent burial, honorable burials, starting from here, from South Africa. Nelson Mandela, he was given a honorable burial because of what he did for the country. From the time he went to prison, from the time he started his struggle, to the time he passed away, very little, no one can say, I was brutalized because of Mandela. I was killed. My son was shot and dead because President Mandela didn't want to go out of power because his men or him, direct or indirectly, ordered this. No, it was not there. Therefore, he was a honorable president and a honorable elder, a honorable leader within our society. Botswana, we had Kwesi Mathiri. He had a honorable funeral in 2017. He served his country with dignity. He kept his people with dignity. There was nothing to talk ill about him. So we have got leaders who have been bad. Even others who have retired. Look in Botswana, Festus Mogae, he was the president. Ian Khama, he was the president. Nobody harassed, nobody killed. Why should we not give him a decent burial? Compared to the benevolent dictators, compared to the brutal dictators, what legacy do they have? All of them have got the same legacy. You can summarize it in a few words. They are eccentric. They are greedy. They are brutal. They are corrupt. They all die when they are wealthy, whereas the population they are leading is very poor. So they don't deserve dignity because they indignify themselves even before they die.
I see. The interesting part is these people, they die, for instance. They don't force anybody to praise them when they're dead. Why do people who went through their reign, like, for instance, in Egypt, Mubarak, who assumed power, he was a vice president before that. When he took power, he focused on security and stability. He maintained a tight grip on society through police and intelligence services. During his years in office, he maintained an emergency law that gave his forces the ability to arrest and detain without cause. Mm-hmm. That's a similar ruling style almost among those autocrats.
Yes.
People felt this. But then when they pass, there are people of all walks of life praise them having been the best.
You have to understand, first, that everything that happens at the national level of these countries and the political systems is a political thing, is political. Mm. And even a death is seen from a political point of view, and the political class tries to find out how it can benefit itself from this particular event. Mm. So, for example, when a person dies, they say President Moi died, those who are even former dissidents who were brutalized by that regime or were jailed, when they're talking on the podium there, they're actually not necessarily in their hearts of hearts, talking about how great the person was. Mm. They're addressing the constituency that this man represented. Mm. They are thinking about how they can capture this constituency for their political gains. And therefore, they will never jeopardize that particular selfish goal of someday or immediately benefiting from the people who are followers of this person. Mm. The only problem, the big problem here, is that while they're doing this, they are playing around with the minds of the ordinary citizens because they try to sanitize the image of this person for their personal political ends. Mm. And in the minds of the other citizens, maybe some of them say, oh, perhaps he was actually a good person. Mm. Perhaps he did great things for our nation. Not realizing that the political class kind of has a common agenda. Each one of these is looking for ways in which they can take advantage of every situation for political benefit. Now, even for those, say, in Egypt who are part of the military system, we know that Hosni Mubarak was a military guy. The army guys, the military guys are doing this for themselves. For them, as far as they're concerned, this is a military leader for them. They see the country from a different perspective. The army sees the citizens as enemies in some of these countries. That's why they could crack down and clamp down on ordinary citizens. And so they make sure that they honor the person because they would like to be given the same kind of honor tomorrow. You just have to look and find out who is the current leader of Egypt, for example. He's a military guy. He would want to be given the same honor by the fellow military men. So some of these things, you have to see them from the political context, that everything is done not necessarily for the citizens of a country, but for the benefits, immediate and future, of those in the political class.
Suleiman.
Over and above Douglas, over and above Douglas, in addition to what Vincent has said, after these leaders, most of these leaders stay in power more than 10 years. After the 10th year, these leaders change the whole system. 20 years is a long time. 30 years is a long time. Within these 30 years, many of these people within the ruling class are proteges of the same leader. You'll find that, for example, in Kenya, Uhuru Kenyatta was made by Moi. He handpicked him. He groomed him. Now he dies at the time when Uhuru is the president of Kenya. So he has an obligation to give him a hero's funeral, regardless of what he did. He puts it under the carpet, and then he raises him up. General Sisi, he's a protege of Mubarak. He should have been promoted by Mubarak himself. They were of the same class. Mugabe, Mnangagwa. Mnangagwa was handpicked by Mugabe himself. So he has to see him. Meles Zenawi. Meles was also from the same political party which Zenawi himself established. So if he dies, he has to give him that hero's funeral. So regardless of what happens, these people are within, they are proteges of the dictators who have taken power. Because many of these places where we are seeing these leaders coming from, we have not had the fundamental change. We have not had the proper revolutions. Even in Egypt, where revolution was done by the ordinary people, it was hijacked and taken. Today, for example, you may not be shocked that in future, Bashir will be rehabilitated because the generals are still hanging around the corridors of power in Sudan. So long as the people who are in power were brought to prominence by those dictators, they will still continue to get the heroes' funerals which they are getting these days.
Also, actually, to kind of reinforce that point, you look around, for example, when you observe these funerals taking place and how the politicians in these places were speaking, each of them, if I take the case of Kenya, each of those who spoke, who used to be one of those, some of the most the most ardent critics of President Moi, they clearly stated that they went to State House. They met up with this guy, with the president. They had tea together. They ate together. What does that tell you? Because some of them ended up being brought into the fold and personally benefiting from that particular regime. Some of them joined the government of that time. Some of them, even if they did not join, benefited in one way or another. What they fail to tell the citizens is that these were personal benefits. These were personal gains. And they make it look like this was good for the country. But it wasn't, because those regimes never changed just because they made made peace with an individual former dissident.
Okay.
You understand?
Well, we are going to take a short break, and we shall be back to continue our discussion of the legacy of Africa's autocratic leaders.
This weekend, put this on your to-do list. Have fun. Listen to Music Time in Africa. Hey there, I'm Heather Maxwell. Join me this Sunday for 55 minutes of the best commercial-free Pan-African music on earth. You'll hear dancehall, jalia, new hipco, afro beats, Sahelian live band, and more. Song of the Week features Kiz Daniel's new ode to Lagos. And Soulja Love's got a dancehall tune that's firing up the Zimbabwe Warriors for the Africa World Cup. You'll also meet reporter Samed Gaida, who brings a special deep dive report from Tamale, Ghana, about music in Dagbon.
Thank you, Hector Maxwell.
So, to do? Listen to Music Time in Africa, 1505 or 20500 Universal Time.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable. We're coming to you live from VOA studios here in Washington. Tonight, we're discussing the legacy of Africa's autocratic leaders. Our panelists are my colleague, Vincent Makori and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst. And I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio One. Gentlemen, you just alluded, all of you, that maybe the system, somebody dies, he's been a dictator, autocratic leader, he passes, but the system remains.
It does. Yeah.
But then how about the people, the victims? We talk about, because like in Egypt, people died.
Yeah.
Actually, Mubarak they tried to charge him in court and then appealed and the thing went away. Mugabe, people died on the streets. In Moi's time, there are people actually who died. People can cite who died and their deaths remain mysteries. What's the fate of the victims? How do they feel?
And I'm sorry, let me just quickly jump in because I wanted to conclude that thought. Mm. This is where I say that the political class is just one. Mm. Whether they're in the opposition, eventually they're looking for ways to come into the system. Mm. And when they get personal gains from the reconciliations they make with this, their former political rivals or foes, they make it look like it is for the benefit of the citizens. Mm. Because at the end of the day, there is not one person who has stood up on any podium and acknowledged the suffering of the ordinary citizens throughout those years of someone's leadership. Nobody says, this was bad, people suffered, people died. And I'm not saying that in these funerals, all that should be said is about how people suffered and died. Mm. But that should be acknowledged.
Yeah.
People should not pretend that it never happened. And you make these people saints and heroes and just praise them from morning till evening. There should be an acknowledgement. Mm. And if possible, the government of that day should then recommit itself to compensating people who probably lost a lot during that regime. And commit to never, ever allowing that kind of leadership in the country. Because by sanitizing the image of that person, you are telling those who are in power today, you never have to do anything right. Mm. You never have to be a good leader. Mm. Because at the end of the day, people will forget all the terrible things you did, and they will be singing praises to you. Mm. And you know, so what? So I think it is for the sake of the citizens and the future of a country.
I see. Suleiman, some people have argued that this kind of scenario, this state of affairs, forces these some leaders on the continent who are committing atrocities, who are making the people suffer, to buy an insurance policy. That policy, insurance policy, is hang on to power until you die.
Precisely, Douglas, it is true. Unless the continent takes a stand, as Vincent has said, and we say that we shall not put anything under the carpet, those who have done injustice, justice should be seen to be done. As you recall, people are still crying in Ethiopia. Mengistu Haile, he went with so many souls, innocent souls. Hussein Habre, there was that hybrid court. Because people went and testified. People put cases. Thousands of people went to have justice done. So in South Africa, we have just had the case of Malema, who was forced out of parliament because he was saying he doesn't want to lead with the last apartheid president because he never accepted, much as he, according to Malema and the EFF, he pretended that he appreciated the pain which was meted out to the people of South Africa. But the young people feel justice was not done. And there are so many young people all over the continent who feel that these people should not be left scot-free like that. Moi should not go to the grave and then no justice is shown. Mugabe should not be... I mean, Mugabe, people were dying as recent as when he was still in power the other day. And then today he comes and there's no justice done. So as recent has said, the continent needs to take a stand. The camouflage which is being shown when these funerals are going on is a camouflage for a certain small group because they have benefited from the system. Justice needs to be done, and if it is not done, that is why there is growing clamor for the change of leadership from the old guards to the young people. The young people want to take over the continent because they can see the old ones, they are still recycling, and they are even encouraging those ones who are still in power, the servants of this world, the beers of this world, to continue killing more people because they know they can continue kill until when they die, and when they die, those they live in power, they will give them heroes funerals. Mm-hmm.
And also, I think it should be a clear message also even to the families of these people, their close friends, that your father, your grandfather, your close friend, your uncle goes down as a person who was not a hero in this country. It should never be made it so light for the families and the friends to kind of think of their member of the family as having been a great person when they were not. Because it means they will never themselves learn from this his bad leadership. So you've seen some of this. Their family members want to get into leadership. They are members of parliament. They are senators. And they don't even once, they will not stop to say, wow, our father went down as a person who did so much damage to our country. But instead, they're made to believe our father was the greatest hero of our country, when he was not. It is actually not fair, because this should be used as examples to tell the nation that if you cause so much suffering to a country, we will not forget. And we will, when you die, when that person goes down, there shall be a mention of how much damage they did to the country, so that history, posterity will know that this person was not a hero. And even if he did certain things, then you should juxtapose them and say, well, he probably did 1, 2, 3, 4 things which were good for the country, but he also did these other things which the country should learn from and never ever accept from any leader today and into the future. But when you forget about those and just sanitize the person completely, those who are in power will not be motivated to do the right things, because everybody learns from what they see around them.
So, gentlemen, as we wind down the discussion, some have suggested that if you put term limits everywhere on the continent, that sort of solves the problem, because now you will serve 5 years or 10 and get out of the way, leaving room for whoever comes in to put you to task if in case you committed something wrong. Because in the current situation, you just have to play time out. You can just have to keep on until there's nothing no accounting. So would you, both of you, let me begin with Vincent here, would term limiting these presidents help?
Let me start and then I give Vincent. Before Vincent goes at Douglas, I wanted to add on what Vincent has said about the accountability of these people. Vincent and Douglas and the listeners, yesterday here in South Africa, we had one lady who was crying on the television being interviewed, and she was saying her husband was killed 34 years ago by the apartheid regime. She was an operative of the ANC. Her husband was 32 years old. They were in Swaziland. The white operatives entered Swaziland and assassinated her. And she was crying and she was saying she has never closed the story. She was saying her children are still angry. They wanted to know who killed their father. And she wants to know who killed their father, because those people, according to her, they are still alive. She wants another because she wants to close. So these things are not closed easily, the way the elites who are praising these presidents are. People's hearts are still bleeding. People need justice. So they should not praise these people. Instead, they should open up and find a way to give justice to the people who have lost their people. To the point which you have said, Douglas, obviously within 10 years, many leaders have not committed any crimes. Many leaders are still trying to put things right. Many leaders are still trying to please the people whom they are leading. After 10 years, that is where, or after the second term, that is where things begin to go wrong. So if there is a term limit, for sure, leadership will be better than what it is. That is why you see that all these leaders who are the rote leaders, the Mugabes, the Kagames, the Musevenis, the Biya, the Ngweso, the Nguema, all of them have got blood on their hands because they have gone for so many years. Mm-hmm. So one of the solutions, as you have said, is the term limit.
I see.
And the examples, I mean, you look at a country, for example, I want to consider a country like Tanzania, which after Nyerere, yeah, who was actually a very popular and simple, patriot of his country, you notice that after that, they went into a democratic system. In as much as the country has been ruled by just one party, you cannot remember any of those presidents who have come after Nyerere as having caused Tanzania so much damage. In fact, they've been trying to fix the country because it was under a socialist system. So whether you're talking about Mkapa, Mrema, Kikwete, because they were not in power for too long, they have not done so much damage that you would be thinking so much about them in a negative way, in as much as they may not have performed in a stellar way. Same case if you look at, for example, countries like South Africa, because of the level, their type of democracy after the apartheid era. Mandela was there for just one term. Then Thabo Mbeki, even if they voted him out, he wasn't long enough to do so much damage. Term limits help to limit the damage a person can do to their country, because there's only so much you can do within 10 years.
And even there's that fear that if I serve my term and leave, if I commit atrocities, I may be held to account.
Yes, when you're out of power.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, we're running out of time. That's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. Thanks to my colleague Vincent Macquarie, Managing Editor of VOA's Africa 54, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in Durban, South Africa. Gentlemen, once again, thanks much for being on the show.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Our producer, as usual, was Dan Brown, and our engineer tonight was Nelson Lopez. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any or part of this program, you can still access it by going to our main website and then click on Programs, scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. I'm your host, Douglas Simpoga. See you next week.
This is VOA News. I'm Joe.